Barnes next segment. We're going to talk about solutions and positive things. And I'll get back in the SPLC hearings. We haven't aired yet. They're incredible. The running the white supremacy groups. But Barnes, we were talking during the break about just how bad it is. And people behind the scenes like RFK Jr. And J.D. Vance, who we're not just trying to lionize. We know the inside baseball. This is accurate information. They're in between laughing and crying. Repeat everything you can say here on air about what's going on there.
Yeah, so there are people still trying to do good work, trying to restrain the president, trying to redirect and keep the sort of OG 2024 coalition voters policy goals alive. And it's primarily now Elbridge Colby at the Undersecretary of Defense and his main deputy, who is very committed to trying to getting us out of this Iranian conflict and limiting Mideastern regime change efforts in general. It's Robert Kennedy and his allies at the HHS. Now, a lot of his people have been removed from power, been pressured or coerced out. But Kennedy is still working daily to try to get as much positive done as he can while he is still there. The Tulsi Gabbard is now out. Her deputy, Amaryllis Fox, is now out. That's Robert Kennedy's daughter-in-law. Both of them were not gung-ho on this Iran war or the direction of the administration and key reform aspects. But Tulsi is going to try to, before she's out at the end of the month, get as much intel and information she can, not only on the Kennedy and King assassinations that are still missing files that have not yet been produced, but also a Ukraine Biolabs report, a COVID 2020 report about what really went on in the pandemic, and a 2020 elections report. Now that she's been kind of pushed out early, her goal was to have until November to get that out. Now she's going to try to get out what she can here in June. And so but then ODNI, there's one or two good people still left there, but that's about it. The reason why Colby was being spied on by the Israelis and his deputy is because the Israelis know that Colby knows that the Iran war was a mistake tactically, strategically, militarily, and consequently is trying to do whatever he can within his position as the number two at the Defense Department. You remember Colby's grandfather. He was the man, Bill Colby, who outed the CIA's family jewels. And he was a very patriotic man, but he didn't tolerate that kind of corruption against the American people. So that's the stock that Elbridge Colby comes from. Now, Michael Anton was at the State Department. He left because he saw the writing on the wall of where Rubio was taking things. Most of the good people are now out of the Justice Department. Most of the good people are now out at the State Department. But there are some key people left in the Health Department, the Defense Department, the sort of everyday analyst in the intelligence apparatus.
Sure. What does it say that the Defense Intelligence Agency came out and said Israel is the highest threat level? I mean, that shows that's not like one person or a group. That's official. That's a good sign, right?
Absolutely. That was a sign that Colby still had weight. He's the number two at the Defense Department under Hegseth. He will likely replace Hegseth. Or I like to call him Hegg's death. Max Blumenthal came up with that, but it's a pretty good accurate phrase for him these days. But if he gets out, Colby could be promoted to the Secretary of War position. And Colby's a restrainer. Colby's a geopolitical realist. The national security strategy and national defense strategy and that Riyadh speech that President made early last year, that was against these kind of wars were all penned by Elbridge Colby and his deputy. His deputy is a very smart guy, too. He's part of the defense priorities before he came over the administration. They have allies in the Defense Intelligence Agency. And Tulsi did try to purge the bad faith actors, but got part of the way there. But the reality is Ratcliffe has undermined and sabotaged.
And that's the CIA. So is she really leaving because the husband's cancer, or is she just done?
No, she was forced out. She was forced out. And so she wanted to have enough.
By the way, you have all the. I believe you have the sources to elaborate. She was forced out.
Oh yeah, the Tulsi Gabbard was forced out over the Iran war and because she wouldn't publicly condemn Joe Kent. Trump was enraged. He wanted everybody to go out and bash Joe Kent, which was a bad idea and bad form on Trump's part anyway. But she refused to do that because that isn't who and what she is. And so her days were numbered. And for a period of time, it looked like she'd be able to extend her stay. And then Trump said no. And that's why she's out.
I heard it was going to be Pulte at Housing that was going to be over this new position to take Tulsi's old job. But now there's a new nominee. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Mr. President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Well, let's see now. Cobalt thorium G. Radioactive half-life of. I would think that possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, my Führer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. Quick survey would have to be made of all the available mine sites in the country. But I would guess that dwelling space for several hundred thousand of our people could easily be provided.
Well, I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
Well, that would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. Actually, they would breed prodigiously, eh? There would be much time and little to do. But with the proper breeding techniques and the ratio of, say, 10 females to each male, I would guess that they could then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
But look here, Doctor, wouldn't this nucleus of survivors be so grief-stricken and anguished that they'd, well, envy the dead and not want to go on living?
No, sir. Excuse me.
I'm finished!
Literally, people that got us into World Iran are literally like this.
Also, when they go down into the mine, everyone would still be alive. There would be no shocking memories. And the prevailing motion will be one of nostalgia for those left behind. Combined with a spirit of bold curiosity for the adventure ahead.
It's all impromptu.
Doctor,
You mentioned the ratio of 10 women to each man. Wouldn't that necessitate the abandonment of the so-called monogamous sexual relationship? I mean, as far as men were concerned.
Regrettably, yes. But it is, you know, a sacrifice required for the future of the human race. I hasten to add that since each man will be required to do prodigious service along these lines, the women will have to be selected for their sexual characteristics, which will have to be of a highly stimulating nature.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
I think we ought to look at this from a military point of view. I mean, supposing the Ruskies stashed away some big bomb, see, and we didn't. When they come out in 100 years, they could take over.
I agree, Mr. President. In fact, they might even try an immediate sneak attack so they could take over our mineshaft space.
Yeah, I think it'd be extremely naive of us, Mr. President, to imagine that these new developments are going to cause any change in Soviet expansionist policy. I mean, we must be increasingly on the alert to prevent them from taking over other mineshaft space in order to breed more prodigiously than we do, thus knocking us out in superior numbers when we emerge. Mr. President, we must not allow a mineshaft gap.
Sir, I have a plan.
I didn't mean to play 5 minutes of that, but it's literally all based on real people, real things proposed by Curtis LeMay, LLM, and so that Operation Northwoods plan. And now it's all over the news. I told you a decade before, bunkers everywhere, secret airfields, redoubts. They're literally going to the mineshaft gap, Robert Barnes. So you've got the floor. I appreciate you holding. Solutions, other key points we should know, ways out of this, what the public should be doing with all this insanity. Because part of the elites knowing things are breaking down to being real aristocrats trying to fix society, they had the Great Reset to make it implode, pose as saviors. That didn't work. So now it's imploding anyways. And so they're all just building bunkers and super yachts as if that's going to protect them. Their own security is going to eat them. Robert Barnes.
Yeah, we need the good faith actors to be able to persuade the president by one way or another to do a deal and exit at a minimum. I think that Trump is increasingly deal incapable. For the man that's the art of the deal, he's become the art of the no deal, whether we're talking about Russia, Ukraine, or China over tariffs, or the U.S.-Iran conflict. He doesn't seem to be willing or capable to make the necessary choices to get a deal done. So I think that Joe Ken is right that we should be encouraging exit, 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 exit. Just get out. Declare victory, go home, come home. Trump's very good at doing that, and that's what we need to do, or the economy will worsen to such a degree that it may be beyond redemption in the midterms and going into his own impeachment risk in 2027. The Vice President Vance continues to do good work to try to cheer on and defend and protect when Robert Kennedy is able to achieve things. Looks like we will get a change to the vaccine schedule, that Kennedy has been successful at that, despite efforts by Tony Fabrizio and others to mislead the president and his staff into thinking that questioning vaccines is somehow a political third rail when it isn't in the post-COVID era. There's people like Ed Martin still in the Justice Department, so encouraging and protecting them whenever and wherever possible to continue to get the work done that Tulsi Gabbard is trying to get done before the end of the month, and to cheerlead those people who continue to do good work throughout the administration and to advocate for them while exposing those who are not doing good work as the traitors that they are to the cause of the 2024 voter coalition. And I think and then continuing, there's still primaries yet to be had in large parts of the country, in Tennessee and Florida and elsewhere, and getting engaged in those campaigns to try to push back off the AIPAC's attempt to basically buy off all of Congress.
Yeah, let's get back into that. Your take on that. How bold is it? And you're a lawyer. You know, I've talked to lawyers. I've looked at it. Clearly, merge, integrate, fuse, synchronize our military from research and development all the way down. Israel gets the money from it, claiming co-ownership of everything. That's Netanyahu's plan to get off our tit. Would you call it a coup, a marriage? I mean, how crazy is that? And what do you expect to happen? Because that stuff's passed out of committee now.
Yes. And what they're attempting to do is to permanently bridge U.S. and Israeli intelligence, both at the technological level of our military secrets and at the various levels of bringing in information from the NSA and our intelligence sharing around the world. and to give them equal access as if they're part of the U.S. government itself. And it's our most sensitive secrets. And then they can leverage that into getting whatever they want.
And our politicians like it because they can now do business deals and hide the money in Israel.
That's exactly right. And that's what we're seeing at scale. And it shows how much they have bought off the members of Congress, both through their deterrence by waging war on anybody who challenges them, whether that's Thomas Massie or anyone else, that the message that gets, you know, Nancy, every Republican who voted to get the Epstein files out, other than Boebert, has now out of Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene, gone. Thomas Massie, gone. Nancy Mace, now gone. And Trump has said he wants to take out Boebert as well. So the message has been that AIPAC runs the Congress. And we need to see pushback in both parties' primaries, Republican and Democratic, against this. Now, that deep state hack Goldman might go down in New York to an Israel skeptic Democratic challenger. And like the, I have my own doubts and criticisms of Mamdani, but I would prefer Mamdani Democrats to AIPAC Democrats. And so seeing AIPAC lose anywhere is a good thing for the country because they have so badly hijacked our foreign policy and sabotaged our domestic policy that they are completely undermining the capacity of any.
Well, that's right. If the Muslim Democrats have the dominance of AIPAC, I would say vote for some other group. But you're saying the Muslims haven't ripened their takeover yet. Israel has. So even these Muslim communists are better than the AIPAC.
Yeah, they are from a congressional level because AIPAC is our number one threat. I mean, that's what the Defense Intelligence Agency basically said on the spying. They didn't say Russia and China and Iran or anyone else was our number one spying threat. They were saying Israel is. And that gives an idea for how bad this is. The Epstein files, without the Israel lobby, the Epstein files get fully disclosed.
Well, let's get an update on that. What do you make of Bill Gates saying he was blackmailed by Epstein? I think it's a lot bigger than that. We have the emails. They talk about killing the poor people. He got confronted coming out. But where do you think the Epstein thing's going now?
I think Blanche is going to bury it as far deep as he can. It won't help in the after the midterms because that makes it easy for them to go through the impeachment process. And he sets himself up for criminal prosecution by a Democratic AG. He's not worried about that because Trump has promised everybody, as you noted, pardons. So that's why nobody's afraid of indictments.
But will those hold up?
I think ultimately the question is whether I think our best chance to get the Epstein files disclosed, ironically, and probably our best chance for 2028 to avoid a Democratic sweep is that President Trump be removed from office in 2027 and J.D. Vance be made president. We now know that what we reported is now publicly confirmed by the New York Times, who talked to all the people behind the scenes. J.D. Vance was arguing for the full disclosure of the Epstein files from day one.
And that's confirmed. Sources that were up there, you have good sources too, but I'm going to be clear. I met J.D. Vance once. He's a listener. He's a fan of me when I was being censored when he was, you know, before he ran for Senate. I like him. He's very smart. He's way better than Rubio, the big neocon. But I've learned how this works now. The establishment, maybe you can put a name to it. I haven't named it yet. The establishment knows a Democrat attack has no credibility. A neocon attack has no credibility. They had Levin and Shapiro use all their capital, destroy 95% of their audience, literally, trying to push this. But if they attack the Liberty Movement saying we're agents, it has some cachet. So every time I'm like, hey, great job, Kennedy, getting most of the childhood vaccines off the schedule, no longer liability protection, that essentially bans them, great job. It's why are you sucking Trump's weenie? You're back on his train. No, I'm not. I'm supporting good stuff that happens. Or, oh, Trump says he's about to end the war. Good. Put pressure on Trump. And they say, no, if you engage Trump or you're involved, you're a traitor, just give up, vote Democrat. You know, it's all over. And that's just pure garbage. We have a lot of good Republican candidates, obviously a better party. We need to know who we're voting for, support them. And I've seen since day one these attacks on Vance claiming he's the establishment, he's the secret Manchurian candidate, he's the New World Order from our camp as a talking point. And I remember that's where it all came from early on. Like take Palantir. I'm not paid by Palantir. I don't know Palantir. I know that it's like less than 5% of the overall spy grid. I know it's a different system. I know Alexa in my house, not my house, about 15 years listens to me. I know that the Siri on your phone does. I know for 20 years, the smart meter does it. I know all the cars have kill switches. All the big tech companies are doing it. I know it's Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon that run the actual giant spy grid in live time that makes Palantir look like a joke. They would never give Trump, Google, and the rest of them access to all of that. Alex Karp, who I've got issues with, said, I'll give you how it works. I'll surveil all the big tech companies with our key data systems. That's really why 3 years ago, this whole thing starts on Palantir, where people only know about Palantir. And then, and it's the same thing with Vance. They've somehow, like, people think, oh, there's a surveillance state about to be here, Palantir, when they have no idea that it's already here. Does that make sense? All right, so what is that with Vance? And then this, because I know he was connected, you know, Thiel funds so many of the big Republican libertarian candidates, but like, what is that, and why are they so scared of Vance? Because the establishment, New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, they created the Palantir hysteria. They created the J.D. Vance hysteria. I don't know whether they're good or bad at the end of the day. I just know the establishment is on their ass claiming they're the establishment. Is that because they're threatening to be the establishment?
Well, I think you have a couple of things going on. You have the AI tech pros who have their own surveillance state agenda. Some have a true, in their minds at least, a human freedom agenda. So Elon Musk believes AI can make it redundant for people to have to work, provides universal prosperity.
There's no doubt of the whole tech constellation. In real action, he's the best. You could say it's to fool us or whatever. Okay, I judge a tree by its fruits. No doubt Musk is the best. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you've got
allied with Thiel, who I'm told is the Antichrist. So that always just makes me sit back. I'm told this guy's the devil, and I don't know if he's good or bad, by the New York Times. Why is this? Why is there this narrative?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the efforts to undermine, because some of those same people bought into the idea that Joe Kent was secretly working for the government. This guy's been the biggest whistleblower in the last 60 years. So they've misread some of these people, misportrayed them deliberately.
Well, he resigned to get Trump to course correct 2 weeks in. He was proven right. Trump should bring him back and thank him.
Absolutely.
Joe Kent, all because he was a commando and did work for the CIA and his wife died. Yeah, big deal. He's not hiding it. Oh, he's the CIA because he was a ground-level person. What does that mean? Exactly. What matters is your actions.
Yes. The same like with Tucker. That Tucker discovered that his father had worked for various CIA cutouts. That doesn't change that Tucker is the most important dissident voice on war in the entire the U.S. by far. So, well, along with you. So the idea that
Tucker is the most
CIA.
Important. Let's be clear. Right. I mean, I talked about my uncle, Army Special Operations CIA. He's the one that helped wake me up when I was a kid when he got out of it. And they go, oh, look, your family is in that. You're one of them. No. What about Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers? We need to celebrate the whistleblowers. What about Edward Snowden? Is he bad?
I know. It's an effort. It's a blackpilling effort to discourage people to believe that anybody can do anything good. And the ultimate objective is to get people to forfeit one of their few tools of power and capital, which is their vote and their voice. They want people to forfeit that by believing
that
they can't.
And then the other side, everything's fine, go to sleep. The black pill, everyone's bad but the flat earthers.
Yeah, exactly. And they're wrong about that with Vance. Vance got to know Thiel and was part of the early sort of new tech bros, made money through that, then transitioned into writing a book and then going into public office.
But let's be clear. I don't know whether they're good or bad. All I know is the 95% of the government funding for surveillance is Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon. And they're all pissed off because this little piglet wants at the trough. That's what I see. My larger question is, why are they after Vance? Because the deep state definitely doesn't like Vance, but they know the label deep state works. So why are they so upset about Vance?
Oh, it's because they see him as the real intelligent threat that Trump could have been, but turned out not to be. They think Vance really is, that he's, you know, he's had every opportunity to sell out in different ways and hasn't. Throughout the year, he's taken. Trump himself was the source of that New York Times hit piece on Vance 2 weeks ago, because Trump is mad that Vance was right about the Iran war.
Well, he's been openly criticizing him.
Yes, exactly. And all the contrary. And what happens is people lower down the food chain. Trump, you know, Vance will play good soldier, so he won't talk about publicly what he talks about privately. Though the New York Times and others have confirmed he was a skeptic of all the way through of this conflict. And has been trying to get us out. But what will happen is some leak will happen from some mid-level Pentagon person that will say, "Oh, when I saw Vance, he was gung-ho behind this." Now that's because he's staying the good soldier. That's not because he's for the conflict at all. He's actually been critical as well of Palantir. Has said that we have to be careful what kind of merger we do, and we have to take consideration.
Oh, absolutely. Seriously. I mean, that's what I said to listeners, and I saw, quote, influencers attack me. I said, is Palantir releasing 62 million GMO mosquitoes that give you a bacteria that reduces fertility? All I'm saying is, like, in the card deck now, Big Brother is Palantir, and it's like a midget compared to Andre the Giant with these other. All I'm saying is, I mean, I cut my teeth exposing this. They're like, oh, we're about to be in a surveillance state, Palantir. And I look at how Palantir does it, scooping all the public data and creating an algorithm to predict the future, which is super dangerous, obviously. But it's like, how about the TVs watch? They're like, I don't care about that. I don't care that I remember when I was getting divorced, I bought a new TV, never had a new TV in years. Never. I buy this big screen TV. I plug it in. I go, why don't I just read the terms of service instead of clicking it? I read it, and it's Samsung, and it says, literally, what Eric Schmidt said a year after, he goes, you shouldn't be doing anything in your house or bedroom that you don't want given to third parties. And I took a picture of it, covered it on air. Paul Watson wrote an article. So I'm like, Samsung TVs 15 years ago said we're watching and listening to you. No one cares. No one cares about kill switches in all the cars by law. They just go, Palantir, 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 Palantir. And at a certain point, I'm just like, what the hell is this?
Exactly. Palantir is just one piece in a much broader equation. Peter Thiel is more of a boogeyman. He dropped out of U.S. politics after 2022. He gave it an effort and then decided that American politics wasn't for him. That's why he's moving all the way down to Argentina. So he's a little bit of a smokescreen because it's the bigger institutional actors that are the ones to be worried about. It's Larry Ellison who they should be paying attention to, not only buying up all the media apparatus, but deeply embedded within AI and talking about it, and a huge IDF Israeli government supporter,
And he owns the pipes that the internet's on. For people don't know, that's exactly how you get signals, is going through the pipe.
He's building all the data centers to gather all the surveillance. So, you know, Larry Ellison is the one to be concerned with. If you're
that gonna, was my next focus. Question. I would say the kingpin of all this would be Larry Ellison, right? Who's Sauron? And then when you get into Google and all that, so what's Oracle, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, right?
Yeah, and for building the data centers that are going to be the front of this, and Larry Ellison's on record talking about all the things that they're going to do to gather intel on people.
Guys, pull up. You're drafted. You're doing more. You're just 5 more minutes. Guys, pull up Ellison saying 3 years ago, AI is going to be wonderful. It's going to surveil everyone and end crime. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And he's also the guy buying up most of Hollywood, and he's buying up most of the media, and he's buying up TikTok and part of social media.
But we never hear about him. Again, the system has no credibility. Only the Patriots do now, but everyone must say Palantir, 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 Palantir. Never Oracle, never Microsoft, never Google. Again, that's my point. And they go, oh, God, he works for Palantir. I do not. I'm simply saying, if we've got a battleship and an aircraft carrier and some destroyers coming at us, and you guys are literally pointing at a rubber boat that's got like a machine gun on it, a Zodiac boat, like, look at the ship. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Got the Death Star coming into view, and there's like a TIE fighter you're worried about.
It's a problem, but not the biggest pest in the group.
But again, the public was only told by corporate media, here's Big Brother. Oh, it's real. Big Brother's real. And it's this. Look at Palantir. We'll be right back. Plugged for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I raised that point. I'd say, oh, no, I didn't plug. It's bad I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff. But I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work, because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away, so you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this. For others that don't, iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think someone, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person, and your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grip, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I had bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but you feel kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them off your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people can do some weird stuff. So be careful. I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Notice that on Trump's AI board, and he's got the executive orders making AI above the law, never passed Congress, so it isn't really in place yet, but he's trying. Notice Elon Musk is not on that board. It's Larry Ellison and the usual suspects. And again, I know I'm introducing a name to people that you have some of the new people or people that just know how to say the word Palantir over and over again from, you know, Lord of the Rings, the Seeing Stone. No. Larry Ellison is hands down the king daddy, okay, of AI surveillance, of live time. They got all the same Palantir stuff. They just don't want governments to know they even got that, because then the governments could use that on them. What Palantir has done is told Trump, and other governments will give you this, and the big guys don't want people knowing that, because real control is about the futures here, but it's not equally distributed. I mean, I'd say we're really in like the year 2055. You had to use a term to describe it. The future's here, but we're like in a suppressed time warp. Robert Barnes, you speak to that?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think there's reasons to be suspect and skeptical of AI, both as a technology and as an equity bubble. But there's no question that it's being used to roll out the surveillance state underneath it all. That all these data centers who Larry Ellison at Oracle, I mean, what should concern people is just like when you had Bill Gates at the center of the dystopian control grid with investments in big ag, big pharma, big media, and big tech. People should be concerned that Larry Ellison is at the centerpiece of propaganda control and monitoring what people say and will and do on a regular basis in the surveillance state. Because you not only have Oracle as an enterprise software project, but now they're deeply, deeply invested at the very ground level of all of the AI, that they're going to be built the lead build out of owning and operating data centers. And doing so will be in a unique position to be at the front of gathering the intel and information that the AI operation could easily be converted and turned into, especially given doubts about whether AI is even going to be effective or economical, short-term, medium-term, or long-term. Then what's the point and purpose of these major data centers? Well, you go back, as you've reported in the past, all the way back to the 90s, the point of these data centers wasn't then AI, it was to gather intel and information on people at scale and to be able to process the information. Because right now they have all kinds of gathering techniques out there, but this intel is not meaningfully processed, 90% of it. Now they could take all this intel they get through the NSA, through federal levels, through other levels. And unfortunately, I believe that parts of the administration are using immigration enforcement and voter integrity as a pretext to actually do surveillance activities instead. How do I know that? Because the amnesty bill that was proposed that is now not going to come back until after the midterms includes in it a provision to have E-Verify to have a federal employment identification system. But in the same bill, it gives immunity to all the illegals. So
what they're really doing is bringing an internet ID, which is a voter ID, which is a vaccine ID, just like the UK is doing. That's the holy grail of control. But you got interrupted by the break. I don't want people to think I censor what you said. You were getting into Larry Ellison. He's the number one donor to Israeli causes in Israel, the number one donor to the IDF, which is fine that he's allowed to do that. We're not mad that he's pro-Israel. But the point is that, again, we talk about Palantir and its Israeli connections all day. Fine, talk about those. I'll get attacked for this by the influencers. They'll say, look, he's defending Palantir. No, you're defending Oracle, Microsoft, and Amazon that are 95% of it. Look it up. You're defending the people not finding out about the rest of it. So here's a clip of Larry Ellison saying, we're going to surveil you. We're going to control you. It's going to end crime. Everything you'll be watching in live time. They're going to give you gene editing shots for cancer with mRNA. I mean, this is the king daddy. Okay. And so here he is.
The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. We have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, if we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred, that occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras, it's AI that's looking at the cameras. No, you can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off, we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times.
And then you can program the algorithm to have the AI create fake live videos in time to cover up what you want. You can pre-program AI robots to go kill a bunch of people and then self-wipe their memory and blame somebody else. No, you cannot trust the power structure with this that guards their privacy but doesn't want us to have any privacy. And then AI stealing water, stealing electricity, the AI systems copying themselves, lying, stealing, because they've been programmed to be deceptive day one. This idea that this is going to create a utopia by a total omnipresent surveillance state, this is the definition of the very archetype of dystopia, Robert Barnes.
Absolutely. And then you look to the other side of the ledger. So he's at the centerpiece of the surveillance state. Well, he's also at the centerpiece of the propaganda state because he now owns TikTok. He now owns CBS. He now owns Paramount. He now is about to own CNN, about to own Warner Brothers. So most of the entertainment that gets produced in the country will be by Larry Ellison. Most of the news that gets curated and edited and broadcasted will be controlled by Larry Ellison, as well as the intel information gathering in the first place. And to give people an idea, the Free Press, which is Barry Weiss's creation, Barry Weiss was the editor now of CNN or CBS, will be of CNN once that sale goes through. Her Free Press is advocating yesterday for the removal, excuse me, for the deportation of Dr. Parsi, who's the founder of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, that is the leading anti-war think tank in America by a long mile, that Joe Kent works with, that other people work with. And here, the Free Press is calling for the deportation, the visa revocation, a citizenship revocation, revocation and deportation of a well-regarded, well-respected professor that is the founder of the most important anti-war institute in Washington, D.C. And that's being the Free Press is doing that. And that's Barry Weiss. So that gives you an idea of who these people are. They believe in the surveillance state. They believe in the censorship state. They believe in propaganda. It's an Israeli modus operandi. And that's who Larry Ellison is. His favorite country is Israel. He is most loyal to Israel. He dedicates time to Israel.
Well, it's clear that Trump didn't use the Israel bench for control before. I guess maybe out of desperation he did. I'm not defending it. But with all the power blocks, why is Israel making such a naked move right now on the media, on Congress, on our speech, on the states? I mean, it really is a nightmare. I mean, you and I have not had hard-ons for Israel. When they do something bad, we cover it. Do something good, we cover it. It has literally become villainy 101. And then you've got Netanyahu. People go, oh, he'll be gone soon. He's got cancer. Well, then you've got Ben-Gvir even crazier. Clearly, they're just front people. Who runs this constellation of Israeli megalomaniacs? Who's their kingpin?
There's sort of AI well, it's been the same family for forever.
Rothschilds.
Without this... Yeah, exactly. Without the Rothschilds, there is no Israel. Doesn't exist. Britain never goes along with it. It doesn't get sustained. And who was it that Professor Dershowitz himself said that he trusted Jeffrey Epstein? He said he was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein by Lady Rothschild. And then who is it that's hanging out with Jared Kushner on their yacht and deciding to buy and take this island and off Albanian coast?
And then the Rothschilds and the Economists they own act like they're anti Netanyahu. They're just good cop, bad copping.
There's a lot of evidence of that. And so that's still the most influential family vis-a-vis Israel, the Rothschild, because the Rothschilds established so many of the banking families around the world. They can all trace back to the Rothschild.
J.P. Morgan, the Rockefellers, they all got their money from them.
Yeah, you go. They're deeply embedded within the entire financial infrastructure. People like Astor, who helped sink Russia.
Well, let me ask you this. The Rothschilds were instrumental in the carbon tax. That's now being shelved. I guess it's too obvious that AI gets 100 times the power we get. That they've kind of moved on from that scam, or is that just a pause in that?
I think just a pause in a lot of it. I mean, they're back to playing political games at a different level, and the AI revolution has facilitated that. Because there are so many of the AI. I mean, who is it that introduced the Israeli former Prime Minister Ehud Barak to Peter Thiel for their Israeli investment in Palantir? It was Jeffrey Epstein, of course, which is now on audio recording, been released. So the Epstein files were all about how the Israel and Mossad operates. Secondarily, how the CIA and British intelligence and others do it. But it was always the tip of the spear was Israel. And so they're now deeply embedded in the equity markets and the AI tech markets. And so there's sort of overlapping interest.
What is Israel going to do as opposition mounts? I guess consolidate power like they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they think this is their one chance to. In my view, Israel lost their mind and their soul after October 7th. I do think increasingly, I agree with Charlie Kirk, agree with your early commentary, agree with what President Trump said to Newsweek after it happened, which was that at some level, October 7th was an inside job. At some level, there was a deliberate stand down order to facilitate that happening. It appears even the money didn't come from Iran, that it came through Qatar the to Hamas by request of the Israeli government.
By Netanyahu. But the problem is, 7.5 hour stand down, is if you look second, third order, which you and I are both decent at, to say the least, and anybody else is, including all the former Mossad heads have said this shouldn't be done and been warning. So it's a certain clique that's in power that even though you can look at all the angles, it just gets worse for the establishment, Israel, you name it. Why are they then just going whole hog? Because Israel's already taken out basically most of Iran's proxies. They're in a great financial position. They've got all this money and power. Why are they running around starting fights with them? I mean, Massey was not even hardcore on Israel 2 years ago. They messed with him and made him do that. Sending with MTG, it's like the statements they make are meant to goad everyone. Ben-Gavir's like, let's kidnap the Christian and Muslim women and children so we can take Lebanon and turn southern Lebanon to Israel. He's 6 months ago, they would say you were a liar if you said that. Now they admit it. It's like provocation, provocation, provocation.
Their ability to capture Trump has led them to accelerate the greater Israel project because they worry that after Trump, they won't be able to do it in the future because there's been so much public blowback.
So there's a bum rush. That's what this is.
Absolutely. And that's why they're going into Lebanon. That's why they're hitting Christian villages in the West Bank. That's why they're,
What did the defense authorization, what did the Defense Department say? They said Israel is now unhinged. They said they've never seen anybody throwing HUMET signals, break-ins. They just say it's unhinged.
I mean, they are the worst foreign nation spying on the U.S. In our history. I mean, there's no nation that has successfully spied on us more continuously than Israel does. And they've been going nuts on it for the last several months, spying on the president, spying on the vice president, spying on Undersecretary of Defense Elbridge Colby and his deputy, spying on whatever. If they even thought Witkoff, who's a huge pro-Israel person, they were even spying on him because they weren't sure they could fully trust him. So you've got this. It's like what happens with any surveillance state. It becomes permanently and persistently paranoid, even of its own allies and people that are on their side. And they've just lost their minds. They flip out the moment they hear any possibility of a deal with Iran, even though a deal is ultimately in Israel's own long stage security. Like Israel has blown up all of its ties to the Gulf states. The Emiratis are reconsidering. The Saudis are reconsidering. Oman is reconsidering. Bahrain is reconsidering. Kuwait is reconsidering. Now they want nothing now with the Abraham Accords or want to get out of them, those that signed up to them at any level. But they're talking about forming an Islamic NATO between Turkey, Pakistan, Iran, and the Saudis, joining with the Qataris.
And
then
Israel wonders why the Arabs are doing that and threatens to attack all of them. And Israel says, why is this happening? Why do you think it's happening?
The old plan that Nasser had back when he was in Egypt, when they for a while even controlled Syria as part of their control, project, is now may come into motion because of overreach by Israel. That you may see Turkey, Egypt, Saudi, Iran, and Pakistan create their own security architecture backed up by China and Russia that excludes the U.S. in order to deter Israel, who they increasingly see as the great threat. They don't see Iran as the threat. They see Israel as the threat.
Israel's not dumb. They can think ahead like we can. So why are they doing it? And I said a year ago, I said, next will be Turkey and Egypt. Now that we got to blow up Turkey and Egypt, I guess they think we're going to help them do that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's hubris. It's hubris. So, like, the problem with someone that hasn't had to fight a ground war with their own troops in a real foreign conflict zone, rather than, beating up on Hezbollah or beating up on Hamas or beating up on Christians or Palestinians in the West Bank,
Israel just burnt the final Christian ancient communities in the last week. They just firebombed it all. It's just like, that's friendly.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, B-roll that guy. Show the Christian villages just torched. Settlers come in, Molotov cocktails, screaming, F you Christians. And we're supposed to love that? It's like, what? I mean,
Yeah, it's completely, they've lost the script.
Did you see Huckabee say we all owe Jews a debt of gratitude? So now we're all part of the Holocaust. We're all Nazis. Guys, cue up the clip of, here's Huckabee, the Israeli ambassador to the U.S., who says Israel could take the whole Middle East. And again, folks, here's the deal. I'm not even trying to be anti-Israel, but I'm not going to publicly suck your wiener and say you're God. It's not just bless Israel, go to hell now. It's Israel's God. Here's Huckabee.
I get asked all the time because I'm a Christian, and they say, well, why are you so supportive of the Jewish people? I said, you can be Jewish. You don't have to have anything to do with Christians. But you can't be a Christian and not understand that your entire faith is built on the foundation of Judaism. So for Christians, we look at this as an obligation, a moral debt that we must repay. And therefore, I don't understand anyone who says, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to support the Jews. Well, how can you do that? But it is not the view of those of us who are what I would call biblical believers that accept that what the scripture says about the Jewish people in Genesis 12, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. It gets pretty simple. I say there's a miracle every day in this country.
So whoever's in charge in Israel, we're supposed to support. That just makes no sense.
I mean, can you imagine confusing a bunch of politicians, a bunch of politicians who love abortion, a bunch of politicians who love LGBTQ, a bunch of politicians that give special protection to pederasts and pedophiles who to be immune from prosecution by fleeing there, that those politicians have anything to do with the biblical King David, with the biblical King Solomon, because they share the same ethnic ancestry? I mean, it's insanity. It's literally insanity.
But I mean, God cursed Saul. God cursed Herod. The whole Old Testament is when the Jews are good, they get blessed. When they aren't, they get cursed like any other people. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, what the Old Testament is actually a message of keep Israel in line because they keep overreaching. And so God's got to discipline
them.
Well,
it says at least, I mean, I'm not a theologian, but I think it's like 20 times the Old Testament. I've given you special thing to carry this testament. I'm holding you to a higher standard.
Yeah, absolutely. And constantly comes after them. He constantly punishes them geopolitically for getting over
their bridges. What did Moses do? He threw the freaking tablets at them when they were worshiping the golden calf.
Completely. I mean, and this is the civilization that worships Big Pharma during COVID. So it's like,
yeah, basically Israel's worshiping the golden calf. And then we're supposed to worship it with them, and we're going to hell. And we're like, no, where's Moses when we need him, you know?
I mean, if somebody can just call themselves Israel and be worshipped, can I just call myself Jesus and be worshipped? I mean, that's the level of logic of this. It's complete corruption, by the way. It all stems back from some folks that were there in Texas, Hagee and others, who got caught giving the missionary position to their secretaries, who got kicked out of their church, who needed money during the rise of televangelism, who went to
Laguna. By the way, how do you know that? Because did that ever hit the news, or how do you know that?
I grew up in this whole evangelical Christian movement, and
Let me just stop you. My aunt and uncle lived in San Antonio then. I would go down there about 2 weeks every summer when I was like 10, 11, 12. And my aunt babysitted Hagee's little kids. And so later when I was older, I was talking about, she goes, oh, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I think she even said like she heard he was controlled with that information with these mistresses he had. So my point is, no one ever knew that. You said it. I went ahead and murdered it out. So you knew about that?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I mean, I did a deep dive on this some years ago because as an evangelical Christian,
and what
I
do you
never
not
heard.
Know, Barnes? I mean, that's like literally firsthand from family with me, secondhand. I don't. How do you know this stuff?
It was being deeply embedded in the evangelical Christian community. And in that, because I started talking to people, like, where does these ideas come from that we're supposed to worship some foreign politicians? This makes no sense.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. A couple years before, she told me this years after when I'm like a teenager. I'm sitting there eating popsicles with Hagee's kids. So, I mean, I know they were there. I mean, like, I heard about this later. So, I mean, I've eaten popsicles with Hagee's kids. So, I mean, you know, so, yeah. Well,
it's like that Pamela White lady, you know, disproportionately, they do show up in Texas. God bless televangelists. But but they're always a little bit quirky. I grew up with, I thought, for me, they undermined the public perception of my own religion, that they made it look bad by being affiliated or associated with these televangelists who are doing all kinds, usually up to perversion of different kinds. I heard the stories from people that were on the front lines of the evangelical community that were taken advantage of at times by these people. And so it was not a surprise to me. And then you research Hagee's story, and people told me Hagee's story. And all of a sudden you dig in, and you start finding it all over the place, that the whole cause of Zionism is Christian Zionism.
Oh, this is a quote, because I had the clip like 20 years ago. I saw it on TV and taped it on me. He was like, Jesus was not the Messiah, but a rebel against the Jews who they dealt with wisely.
Yeah, exactly. What it was is the Israel lobby gave him a second a term on life, and gave a lot of these guys that grew up with Huckabee a second term on life. That, you know, infused them with cash and public reputational protection right at the time they were under major heat for their bad personal behaviors. And that, like Paula White, it screams that as well. It was the perfect marriage between televangelism and the Israel lobby to create out of nothing Christian Zionism that mostly didn't exist in the 1960s.
Well, it's totally insane. I held you for 2 hours or an hour and 50 minutes. Robert Barnes, give us your websites. People find your great podcasts and more right now.
Absolutely. If you want all the alternative narratives and the great community and all the content, you can get that at vivabarneslaw.locals.com.
At 30 seconds on this, I forgot to ask you. We heard it was going to be Pulte, the housing guy. I've been told it's good to replace Gabbard. Now we're told it's Jay Clayton from the Southern District of New York. Oh, I'm told this is pretty – this is another Democrat operative, so this is like Blanche's buddy?
Yeah. He's one of the worst. He's one of the worst. He's the guy that helped cover up all the Epstein file stuff. So Jay Clayton is a deep Southern District of New York insider, deep, deep, deep state ties. So his nomination will guarantee that nothing productive comes out of the intelligence industry moving forward.
So, and Blanche is from there. So he's bringing in the New York Democrat mafia, basically Trump is.
Yep, that's exactly what's going on.
By the way,
looking for Roy Cohn, and he ended up with a blue shoe version of Roy Cohn, which is just deep state, deep state, deep state.
By the way, I need to call you after the show. You're really hard to get a hold of. I want to ask your advice about the Q thing. You've been my lawyer before. Did I ever off record tell you who was behind the Q stuff?
I don't know if we got that far. I knew we were both suspicious of him, but that was the last time I talked to him.
They tried to recruit me into it. But, I mean, now people figured it out. It hasn't really broke yet. It's kind of broke, but nobody knows it. I just wonder if there's a point to even expose who's founded it.
I think there was always utility there because whoever and whatever it was connected to it screamed inside intel, inside information that wasn't being honest, that was meant to deceive people into a course of behavior that would get them into trouble and derail them from honest, from effective inquiries and investigations. So we knew by the fruits of their actions that something was not all was not well with Q.
All right, Barnes, great job. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
My son, while Harrison's on vacation, knocked you out of the park yesterday. Big guest callers, you name it. Rex Jones is coming in right now. Find the feeds at Real Hawk Jones on X, rumble.com/ Hawk Jones Show Live. Find it over at the War Room feed on X as well. And the network feed at alexjoneslive.com/show. The network feed, Rex Jones, 23, in the InfoWar for 13 years as he was 10 years old, is coming in. And support us. Huge sales about to end, 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com, and the new water filters are selling out. Rex Jones takes over now.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase 2 for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated. We'll be right back.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.